Well, I don't know if you were expecting to hear our voices or whether you thought we had just given up on F1, like 95% of F1 fans have.
98%.
98%. It is getting to that point. But we are back after the summer break. It's been a bit of a mad one. And we came back with a pretty crazy race. Zandvoort. We are going to dive into that big time. Still confusing without the cameras. Don't know where to look. Don't know who I'm talking to.
We've been different this time. You've come to my place.
Yeah, we are also not in the regular place that we film, which is my office. But if you are new here, thank you very much. It's good to see you. Please give us 5 stars. No matter where you're listening, if you're able to rate us, do it. And make sure, don't give us a 1 star or a 2 star. It has to be 5 stars. I don't even want 4 stars. Don't bother. 5 stars or nothing. If you can leave a review, I don't know if that's a thing, do it. Tell people how sound we are. And also make sure you do follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. Just search Racecast. And if you can't find it, it's probably not for you anyway. Anyway, we're going to crack on now. And you're going to hear a little car noise. And then Matt's going to take over, like the old times.
All right, guys. Welcome along to a brand new episode. Has been a while. Obviously, last time we filmed was... When was that? Spa? Just after Spa?
So after the last race.
Yeah, before the summer break. So, yeah, welcome back.
It is hard to get motivated. I'm not going to lie. And I know, you're a Formula One podcast. It's very difficult to turn up once a week and discuss like the same thing. It would be like us having the same dinner every single night.
Yeah, and I mean, it's weird, isn't it? Because we've discussed before, you know, realistically, in hindsight, the new regulations have made for closer racing, and you're seeing that by the podiums, different people on the podiums, but we don't watch F1 just to see who finishes second, third, fourth, fifth. We see F1 to have a proper title challenge. And take nothing away from Red Bull, take nothing away from Max Verstappen, they're absolutely flying. But when you know the result of the race before it even starts, it is hard to get motivated.
Yeah, because it's like there's kind of just no point watching. And like I say, like you have an interesting race. Yesterday, and I saw an interesting tweet about this, right? Because Zandvoort yesterday had the most amount of overtakes. Have you got that stat?
I've got it.
What was it, like 137?
So previous, let's go back, right? In fifth position was Canada in 2011 with 129 overtakes in a race. Okay. Mm-hmm. Turkey again in the same year, 2011, 132. Brazil in 2012 was 158 overtakes. China in 2016 was 170, and can you guess how many overtakes there was this weekend in the Dutch Grand Prix?
187.
186. Oh, that's close, man. Close.
But someone made an interesting tweet about this, right? Because I think we can all agree, as the events that unfolded were interesting. Mm. Do you know what I mean? There was a lot of different stuff going on.
Do you think they class overtakes in the pit lane?
Yeah, I reckon so. I don't actually know. We should stat check that.
You probably had about 80 just in that alone.
Well, that's the thing. And the interesting tweet was, so second most overtakes, 2016, China.
Yeah.
What happened in that race?
Wasn't it like a monsoon at time? Was that the one which...
Do you know what? And that's the point. You don't remember.
No.
F1 is not purely about the overtakes, right? We love it when the cars can overtake. Mm. What races do you remember? The title clenches.
The 21
the
season.
One where it's like, yeah. There's a shift. Hockenheim 2018, yep. Where Seb goes into the wall. You know, it wasn't like a massively interesting race, but that made it interesting.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, yes, okay, we love to watch all the overtaking, but it's actually the critical moments in a season that make it so exciting. And that's why, you know, how many times are we going to refer to 2021? It wasn't because we were seeing cars overtaking left, right and center. It's because we were watching a title battle unfold in front of our eyes. So I'm all for the closer racing, more overtakes. It's brilliant. But it does mean nothing alongside the lack of an actual battle to lift the trophy at the end of the season.
Yeah. And I suppose when you look back at, you know, I'm going back, you know, years and years ago of Damon Hill, Michael Schumacher, you know, when he deliberately took out
Damon. It was deliberate.
And then all of a sudden, you know, all of that type of things, which you look back and you go, that was decent.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many. Back in when Lewis won his first title with Felipe Massa, like in Brazil, what was it like the final corner going past Sutil?
Yeah, exactly.
Those type of things make F1.
It's all those little moments that are actually what make season, and they're what you'll remember. I promise you, I could guarantee you, right, if we had 2021 and none of the other cars ever overtook each other, for whatever reason, the only two cars that ever overtook people were Lewis and Max.
Yep. So
I promise you, that season would still be as memorable.
Yeah, you wouldn't have cared, would you?
You would not have cared.
No, I agree.
And but I appreciate it can be boring for, like, the midfield fans, you know, if you're a
Alpine or...
Yeah, if you're a Gasly fan or, who knows, got a podium actually this weekend, which is quality.
Of all the people you could have picked then, you'd be the guy who's actually got a podium.
But it still, you know, it generally applies. It would be more boring, so I appreciate there are those fans. But, like, I still feel like F1 fans are not necessarily, like, die hard. They have to win, because it's not that sort of sport.
No.
It's similar in the sense where you always just back your person. If they do well, that's enough.
Yeah.
If you appreciate that, let's say you're a Luton Town fan this season, right? In football.
Yep.
They're not the same sport, I know. They know they're not going for the title, but the win, just a win, is going to be enough for them.
Yeah.
Right? And that's my point. So that's why overtaking is great for the sort of midfield, back of the field teams. But collectively, as a sport, if you're watching football, your eyes are on the title race. Do you know what 100%. I mean? No matter who you're supporting, you're backing your team day in, day out. But what makes it exciting is what's going on. Even a relegation battle in that sense. But it's the overarching events that actually uphold the sport for what it is that really matters.
Yeah, it's weird. And like you say, you look on Twitter and I've listened to other podcasts and they're in similar boats in the sense of, it's hard to get excited. And I think, you know, I've listened to other people who are Ferrari fans, like Leclerc fans. And, you know, for them last season, they had the potential to win a title. Obviously, it didn't end up like that and it ended up being an awful season. But now they're seeing someone like Leclerc, who we said we would expect Ferrari to get better and better, are getting worse and worse. And
they're actually getting worse and worse. It's not like they've just got a bit worse. It's that they're getting worse and worse.
And I suppose and like we say, and so many people say, don't they? If you take away Max Verstappen, we'd have a really exciting title challenge. And we actually would.
Perez has forgotten how to drive.
Yeah. You know, McLaren have come into it. Mercedes are still doing they have one good race, they go back down. One good race, go back down. Aston Martin. So in theory, yes, you've got a very good season in a sense. But ultimately, all that matters is who wins a title at the end of the year. And at this moment in time, Max Verstappen is walking away with it and no one is getting close.
They might as well actually just hand it to him now.
Yeah. It's like, how many times, and we text each other, don't we, on race days and go, if Max gets into turn one on his own, and even Sky Sports are even saying, I don't know if you heard this weekend, and they were like, you know, Corinne Chanrock was like, if you know, how this will go is if Max gets, you know, ahead into turn one, doesn't really get any much challenge from people like Lando, that's it, race done. Even the pundits are now saying this is how it's going to go. And
it's not, and do you know what winds me up at the same time? It's how they try and mask it by like, oh, look, we're witnessing greatness. Now, look, I'm not saying that statement to take anything away from Max. Firstly, they are in a car that is much faster. Yep. You know, I think we witnessed greatness from Max in 2021.
You know,
I took more from Max that season, as much as I hated him that season, don't get me wrong. But like that, 2021 showed off Max much better than these next two seasons because he hasn't got a challenge. He's got nothing to rise to.
No.
And yeah, he's in a fast car, but yes, he's driving it like, he's driving the absolute wheels off it. Let's be real here. He's like over a second a lap quicker than Checo in the same car.
We need to emphasize on this before we get fans who go, oh, you know, Lewis. Max Verstappen, to be able to drive a good, to be able to be where you are, you still need to go and deliver. And he delivers week in, week out. Oh, same as when Lewis had a dominant car, he still delivers.
He's impeccably consistent. Like, it's ridiculous.
Max is consistent. His speed he has in that car is outrageous. He's a phenomenal driver.
And that's also, at the same time, I'm not saying anyone could do it in that car, because that's absolutely not true. Otherwise, Checo would be... You know, Checo's sometimes not even fighting... Well, he didn't this weekend, but a lot of the time, he's not even fighting for second.
He doesn't even turn up, does he?
So, I'm not saying, like, we're not witnessing one of the greats. You know, Max is clearly up there. One of the best ever. But I hate it when they try and, like, mask the fact that the season is shit by saying, like, oh, look at what we're witnessing. And it's just like, I don't care. No. Like, honestly, put you and me up there. I'd rather watch us two race, close racing, every single week than watching one person who is quality at it just winning every week.
Yeah, no, I agree. Let us know what your thoughts are. It is interesting, isn't it? Because you bring these regulations to change the whole dynamic. And yeah, like I said, to a certain degree it has done. But we've still got a dominant car. And that's the whole point of what we're trying to get away from. But as I said, take nothing away. Let's get into a bit of news. So, as we know, Daniel Ricciardo had a little nasty accident. Broke his wrist.
Why couldn't it have been Max?
No, honestly, nothing will happen to Max.
Why couldn't that have been Max? Now, look, it's a broken wrist. Get over it. I've just had one.
Well, you haven't had a broken wrist, have you? They couldn't find anything.
Yeah, but I was in a cast. So technically, it was broken. They're all right. You know, Max would get over it. I'm not wishing, I don't know, cancer upon him or anything. I'm saying...
Lance Stroll was back in 12 days. If I don't see Danny Ric back in a car within 12 days, Lance Stroll's a trooper.
Yeah. Still pretty bad, though.
It was, yeah. But actually, Stroll had both wrists.
Yeah. But, I mean, he drove like he had two broken wrists anyway, so... But, you know, imagine if that just... happened to Max. That would have been nice, wouldn't it? A couple of weeks of just, you know, Zandvoort and Monza. Oh, nice racing. Little broken wrist, he's all right. He's, you know, he can cry in his mansion in Monaco or whatever with his wife feeding him grapes or something. It doesn't matter, he's gonna win the championship anyway. But we could have had two really good races. And what you're gonna say, oh, you're wishing someone broke their wrist. It's not what I'm saying. Someone's already broken their wrist. I'm just wishing someone else broke it. So it makes no odds. In either scenario, someone's got a broken wrist.
Yeah.
It's either Danny Ric or Max. I pick Max.
Well, going back to Danny Ric, poor Danny Ric. It was only two races. He's only been... Well, actually, he done one race, didn't he?
Did he? Oh, Spa.
Spa. He was only in for one race, wasn't he, before... What did he race before?
Nah, he did the race before.
He did a race before. So he's only done two races since he's been back. They have confirmed today that he will not be taking part... at Monza.
Yeah. You were going to say Imola, weren't you? It was on the tip of your tongue.
So Lawson will be in for the remainder until when Ricciardo comes back.
He did an all right job at Zandvoort. We're probably touching it properly, but rookie coming into an obscene, like, mental race, you know, with all the weather changes and stuff, for someone that is not experienced behind the wheel of an F1 car.
The fact he finished that race... is impressive, and actually the fact he didn't finish last is also more impressive.
Yeah.
But let's just quickly finish off some other news. So Filip Drugovich will drive Lance Stroll's Aston Martin in FP1 this week at Monza.
Oh, nice. I like Drugovich.
Yeah, me too. No, I think he's
I know they have to get a certain amount of laps in as reserve drivers or whatever, but do you reckon they're eyeballing him? Are they going to be looking at him closely, thinking? Because let's be honest, Lance's days should be numbered. There's only so much his dad can do. Did you see the weird rumours about Lance Stroll, actually?
That he was going to go and play tennis.
With two broken wrists, that'll end well. I honestly think, play football or something.
Yeah, I don't know. Apparently he wanted to get him onto the tennis tour. But again, I don't really know how.
How would that even happen? That's how you know someone's got too much money.
Yeah, but also, I have never seen him in a tournament of tennis. So how is he good?
How's he just going to walk in and just I found that so mental when I read it.
Excuse me, mate. I'm just here for Wimbledon. What do you mean you're here for Wimbledon? Well, I just thought I'd just
in a double cast.
I don't know. Before we crack on, so there has been 9 different drivers on the podium in the last 13 races.
Yep, I think that's quite cool.
Can you guess, or can you not guess, but can you tell me all 9?
Max?
Oh, no, he hasn't been on any, yeah.
That was the hardest one. Checo?
Yep.
Lewis?
Yep.
George? He's had a podium this year.
George is at a podium, yep.
Sainz?
Nope.
Sainz not on there?
Nope.
Oh, shit. Give me like 3 strikes and then I can't do anything.
Okay.
Well, Alonso.
Yep.
Gasly.
Yep.
Oh, shit. This is where it gets hard. Oh, Lando.
Yep.
Piastri.
Nope.
What?
Piastri has not been on a podium this year.
Oh, no. He didn't get it at Silverstone, did he?
Silverstone, yeah. You're missing 2.
Yeah, well, obviously part of me wants to say Charles, but I'm going to say Charles.
Charles is on there?
Is this one that's going to, like, throw me off? Who?
I think it will throw you, yeah.
Who the hell has got a podium? I don't... Lance Stroll hasn't. He hasn't had one this season. So I've got the 2... I've got the 2 Red Bulls. I've got the 2 Mercedes.
So, I'm going to give you a bit of a clue, and it goes back to Monaco, this person.
Oh, Ocon.
Ocon. Yeah. It throws you. It's mad that Sainz has not been on the podium this year in 13 races.
I really thought he had. Yeah. I don't know what... I thought Sainz had and Leclerc hadn't.
Yeah, no. So, literally the first 2 races was Verstappen, Perez and Alonso. Hamilton then got 1 LFC in Australia. Leclerc, he had 1 in Azerbaijan.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Ocon was in Monaco. You had both Mercedes in Spain alongside Max Verstappen.
Yeah.
Then Hamilton had a run. I think it was 2 in a row. I say a run, that's not really a run, is it? Leclerc got his 2nd podium in Austria. Lando Norris got his 1st podium in Silverstone alongside... and also Hungary, and then Leclerc was in Belgium, and obviously what we had this weekend with Gasly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting. I like that stat. I think that's quite interesting.
Look, and all this does is back up our point. Take Max out of the championship, and it has actually been interesting.
Yeah, you actually have quite an interesting, a good season. Let's touch on the Dutch Grand Prix, shall we? So... what have we got here? So FP1, I didn't really get to see FP1. Did you?
Yes, I did. I watched it in my office.
Verstappen led it. Shock.
Yeah, there was nothing too interesting. You know what? I thought actually the Mercedes looked really good in FP1.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where Lewis got in the end.
P2.
Yeah.
P3. Sorry.
Yeah. So. You know, then come quali, obviously we'll touch on that. But yeah, it was pretty standard. I think Max led all 3 sessions, didn't he? FP1, FP2, FP3.
Well, Norris was FP2. Verstappen was literally 2/1000ths off.
Yeah. You know what,
FP3 was Verstappen.
That McLaren confuses me a little bit.
I don't think they know what goes on.
Yeah, I agree there. I think they know they've got a good car. They don't quite know why it's good.
Yeah.
And that's not to discredit, obviously they would have done all the work to get it to where it is. But what I mean is, I'm not quite sure they know where it's, what's optimal, what's the optimal setup for the car. How do they get it in that window? Because sometimes it's there and sometimes it's just not. So it's really weird. Like, because where did we see it? And I know, okay, setups and whatnot are going to be different. But in Spa, it was really quick in the wet.
Really quick in the wet. And then, really poor in the slow.
In
the dry, sorry.
In the slow.
Yeah, really poor in the slow.
In Zandvoort, Lando got overtaken by Alonso in the wet. Alonso was on slicks. Mm.
I don't understand it. I don't understand why it's so different this year. And why And I think that's why we're seeing so many different people on podiums. That's why, because I don't think people understand where their car is good. You know, you used to go to like tracks and you used to go, yeah, we perform better here. That's more of a Red Bull track, or that's a Mercedes track. We go into these places, apart from they're all Red Bull tracks.
Yeah, every
now.
Track is a Red Bull track.
But other cars are looking at it and going, you know, I wasn't expecting, you know, Mercedes to do so. Well, they didn't do well, but they were relatively quick there.
At Zandvoort?
Yeah.
I actually was. Because their biggest issue this season is high drag. So Zandvoort, nice little...
Yeah, true.
Like, I expected them, which is why, oh my God, qualifying, I was pissed off.
Should we touch on qualifying? So in...
What a disaster.
It was. Obviously, it was a wet qualifying.
Wet to dry.
Wet to dry. So Q1 went out, Lawson... 1.2 seconds behind Bottas.
Kind of understandable.
Don't you find it quite amusing that actually? So you're coming into F1. You're like, okay, you're going to go out there qualifying, go and prove yourself, and you're like, wow, that was a really quick lap. And you coming round, you're like, yeah, you're 1.2 seconds behind. Mm. How the fuck am I 1.2 seconds?
It probably felt lightning to him, like, you know, getting behind the wheel of one.
Well, they don't. Obviously, he's saying it's very different because they don't have inters, or they don't have certain stuff in.
Well, yeah, they'll be very different cars.
So he was I was happy for him, and I think it's a great opportunity what AlphaTauri have done here by getting someone in.
I do feel bad for Danny Ric though, like we said, and obviously we should touch on that. I know we spoke about his broken wrist, but obviously,
well, it was a weird one, wasn't it? Because
that was in FP2. Yeah.
So Piastri crashed in turn 3 on the corner, and then all it looked like was Danny Ric kind of just couldn't be asked to drive, and he was like, yeah, fine, I'll just crash it.
So it did look weird when I first saw it. I was like, what the fuck has just happened? But I think it was more, I think where Piastri had crashed, because it's all banked as well, I think he was just blind spotted by the inside barrier,
because obviously you go quite high on that corner, and so obviously then, when he went round, he was
as Danny Ric comes in, and then I think he's like, oh shit, okay, hit Piastri, dive into the wall. Mm. And I think he said he just couldn't get his hand out of the way in time. And have you seen the slow-mo video of the wheel spinning? Spins. And it just catches it, doesn't it? It hits it with some force.
It's a freak accident, because obviously normally what happens is when you crash, you take your hands off the steering wheel, and because it obviously your steering wheel goes into a...
Yeah, but because he had to turn into the crash,
he couldn't get
his hand away quick enough, whereas normally, you just brace up. Hands away from the wheel, and that's it.
Yeah, it was mad. And I wish him a speedy recovery. However, I
do feel bad for him. You know, it's like, I'm taking this big year off. You know, everyone sort of mocks it, and it's a bit like this, you know, he's never coming back. And then it's like, oh shit, he's actually come back. And he's not looked half bad. I know he's only had two races, but, you know, he had that mistake in Spa where he got track limits, but he was looking good. He looked like he was matching Tsunoda nicely this weekend, even a bit quicker.
But I feel bad for Tsunoda in the sense of, you know, what's this guy got to do, right? So they bring in Nick de Vries, they get rid of Gasly, bring in Nick de Vries. Okay, you've got to prove yourself against Nick de Vries. Okay, he does that. Nick de Vries gets taken out. Ricciardo comes in. You've got to prove yourself against Ricciardo. He's held his own, and he's actually, I think he's beaten him in both races, I believe. He did in Spa anyway, I know that.
Yeah. I can't remember. I think Budapest, Danny Ric beat him, no?
Potentially, yeah. I can't remember which one. But then all of a sudden it's like, you know, okay, so Danny Ric's now. Now we've got Lawson coming in. Okay, he's a complete rookie, complete novice. But if he beats you, then we're going to start questioning.
Yeah.
So this poor guy, and at the same point, having to drive this tractor.
Oh, that AlphaTauri is so bad.
It's poor. Although, I feel like Tsunoda has got the most out of it.
I think I think Tsunoda's not done a bad job season.
I think he's done well. So in Q1, Lawson went out with Bottas, Magnussen, Ocon, and Zhou. So both Alfa Romeos went out. But shocking bit by Alpine.
I know the two Haas boys have just been given next year, haven't they?
Yeah.
I thought questions were going to be raised over K-Mag.
Yeah, I don't know how he's still in a seat.
Hulk is massively outperforming him. Yeah. And we've seen that car again is a pretty decent qualifier. Mm. Which Hulk tends to show.
Yeah.
It's a pretty bad racer. Yeah, I was surprised K-Mag got that opportunity.
Yeah,
happy for him. But yeah, I did think there were going to be questions raised.
Yeah, I it's weird that they've announced it so early. In that sense, I was expecting them to give it a bit of time to see how it transpired, but obviously they felt like that's a good pairing for them, and it's unless it's a cheaper pairing, who knows? I don't know.
Well, yeah, Haas are a budget team, yeah. aren't they?
But I felt like going into qualifying with the rain and going to dries, you're always there's big drivers who are at risk here, and we've seen that when this has happened this year that there is bits of when you're kind of
these are the best qualifyings as well.
Yeah. So little did we know, we were going to get Hülkenberg out in Q2, Tsunoda, Gasly, Stroll, and Lewis Hamilton. He had a shocker.
He did.
He tried to use two runs on the same softs. It just didn't work.
Where he did his flying lap a lap early.
Yeah.
So he timed him, the team, whoever, timed it badly. It wasn't a particularly good lap anyway.
No.
You know, you can use that as an excuse, but I mean, if he set, you know, he would have had to have been plenty quicker if he even wanted to consider competing in Q3. So, yeah, I mean, it's all well and good saying, yeah, we've messed up, but for whatever reason, in quali, he was slow.
Just touching on Lewis, I'm getting a feeling that actually, like, you listen to his post-quali interviews, and I don't know if you saw any of his interviews.
I saw the post-quali one in the media pen.
Yeah, he's very chilled, isn't he? He's very more like, yeah, well, it is what it is. And obviously, we still don't know about contract news. There's still nothing that's come out at the moment about this.
I did see a rumour today, apparently, that he signed a multi-year deal.
Is it? Because I saw...
Not confirmed.
But I don't know what's going on, because I also saw a report today that actually Lewis Hamilton's new contract is really bad for George Russell. And
why?
Well, because they've come out and said, well, actually, George Russell was expecting to go into that team, be behind Lewis for 1 or 2 years. Lewis would then leave the sport and then he would be the main person in there. Obviously, Lewis is now staying around longer and longer, well, from what we think. So that's actually quite bad news for George Russell in his development. I don't really... I still think when you're in that team, you can develop at the same level. And yeah, actually, having an 8-time world champion, I'm going to say 8-time world champion.
Here's an 8.
It's only going to benefit you, surely.
Yeah, because I'm not being funny. If you can't go up against Lewis in your team, why do you think you're going to be able to go and challenge Max in another team?
Yeah.
I mean, there's like, if you can't do it against your own teammate, well,
you're not going to do it against anyone else.
Yeah. Especially someone like Max, do you know what I mean? So, I personally think it's only bad for George if George has an ego.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to, I think, to have an ego against someone like Lewis Hamilton. Because, I know, we saw that video, where was it? Was it the lie detector test where he said he thought he was better than Lewis now? And that to me showed a bit of ego, and I like George. I'm not slating him at all, and I know you've got to back yourself. But there kind of comes like that thing, especially when he's your teammate as well, where like he is one of the greats. Mm. You know, it's like I don't think you would have ever caught like Rosberg saying that about Michael Schumacher when they were both at Mercedes. I think he would have been like, "That's Michael." Do you know what I mean? And it's that like respect thing. Where it's like, realistically, am I ever going to be better than them?
Yeah.
Probably not.
If you get your championships, then you can have that conversation. But...
Exactly.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. With Lewis, watching Lewis this weekend, it just seemed very like... He's kind of just...
I just feel like Lewis is a bit done with this car. I feel like he's gone from the last... Well, he had like 7-8 years of domination in the Mercedes. But he did have challenges, but he had a car that was capable of winning titles. And okay, it was the best car on the grid for the majority of that time. To now having a car that is not even close. You know, I still argue the Mercedes is not a bad car. It's really just not. They're P2 in the constructors. Lewis is pretty consistent with getting podiums this season.
Yeah.
Not as consistent as we'd like, but they're nowhere near that Red Bull. And that's the problem. Do I think Lewis would be downbeat if that Red Bull wasn't here?
Yeah.
No. Because they'd all be saying the Mercedes is the second quickest car, which I stand by. I just think other teams are making huge jumps, and that's the frustrating part. We see a McLaren that goes from the second worst car on the grid to all of a sudden probably on par with the Mercedes, or the Aston Martin, who last season were like the third worst car. And then you start the season, they're the second best car. I don't think they are at this point in time. But like, I'd be looking at that and being like, why are we not making those jumps?
Mm.
Why can we as Mercedes not gain a second in lap time? I know that might seem unreasonable as well, but it's not, because other teams have done it already.
Yeah, no. Well, and they're showing that, aren't they?
Yeah.
Look, no one. If McLaren can make such a big step, then actually other cars can.
Exactly.
Answer me this. Say, for example, next year, Mercedes bring it up, pick it up. Red Bull still, you know, they're the same as Mount. But Lewis Hamilton goes on to win a championship next year. Would that be his best ever championship? Because, and I say this because he's had two stinkers of years with his car. The double 13 and double 14 have been, the double 14 has been better, but they've still been nowhere near the Red Bull. He stuck with them, his age, coming back into it and actually winning the title with Mercedes.
Do you know what?
Would you think?
I think,
obviously, this is very hypothetically. I'm not saying I already know who's going
to
win.
I think it would mean the most to him. Firstly, having the 2 years of hardship,
yeah,
but really 3 years, because in 2021 he had the title robbed from him.
Yeah,
so it's kind of like vindication. Is that the right word?
But everyone thinks he's done now.
And so I think coming back, the thing is, look, I've watched Lewis in his prime.
Mm.
I really don't think he is done. I think everyone's basing that off last season.
Well, everyone's basing it on the fact that he hasn't won since 2021. That's basically, you know, oh, a seven-time world champion should be at least winning a race a season. That's what people keep... Yeah, that's all I see.
No one is winning a race this season.
No, well,
other
yeah.
than Red Bull. And last season, yeah, okay, George won a race. But Lewis had damage in that race.
From Max.
Yeah, from Max. So, whether it would be his best... It could end up being his most satisfying.
Yeah.
I think best, it's really hard to take away his first championship.
Yeah. Although Massa is trying to, you know.
Yeah, although he is trying to take away. But, you know, being a rookie, essentially, you know, second year.
Yeah.
Going up against Massa, really good driver. Had a little bit of experience at that time as well. Well, how long had he been around for then? It wasn't ages and ages, but like, he wasn't a rookie.
No.
Yeah, I feel like that's a mega win. And then, you know, to do it on the last corner of the last lap.
Yeah.
Of the last race. That's going to be hard to top. But yeah, I think personally for him, it'll be like, I finally did it.
Yeah.
I got the one that I deserved.
And I think that's
And I've worked so hard for it as well.
And like I say, I think people think he's done because he hasn't won. That people, because he's not on the podium week in, week out. And I think everyone associates, and you look at Michael Schumacher when he came back to Mercedes, people expect that world champions to constantly be on podiums all the time. That's what they expect. You know, well, if you're world champion, you should be nowhere lower than third. You should always be on a podium.
It's just not possible.
No. Obviously, it is very car dependent as well. We know that.
I think we've seen Lewis drive the wheels off the car this year.
Yeah.
You know, compare him to George this season. You know, George has had a pretty bad season in comparison to Lewis. So, I don't think Lewis has shown anything that suggests, oh, he's not as sharp as he once was.
No,
I think the only thing I'd actually like to see from Lewis is, I still feel like what he's carried over is his lack of aggression, which you saw in the earlier days when he really had to fight for wins. And I think during his the long stint at Mercedes where he didn't, against a lot of cars, he could just sit back and pick his moment.
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes he still tries to do that now, and it's almost like the moment's gone now because this car isn't capable.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I would like to see, that aggression. But then at the same time, I think he's probably thinking, I can't win a race in this car anyway. It's probably best to just bring it home and collect the points.
No, okay.
So I do see it from both points of view.
Let's quickly wrap up on qualifying. So Q1 was interesting. Both Williams into Q3. Sargent gets into Q3, then bins it into a wall. Happy days. Charles Leclerc also in Q3 decides to crash into a wall. So they started 9th and 10th. Interestingly, obviously, Verstappen was P1. Norris P2, almost 6/10 behind Verstappen. Russell brought it home in P3, which was also quite surprising considering how bad Lewis Hamilton was in Q2.
Yeah.
Albon, phenomenal, matches his best of P4.
I don't understand.
That was a rocket in qualifying.
But, like, the whole thing about the Williams as well is, like, lack of downforce.
Yeah.
Well, clearly not.
No.
Like, they are making moves there, right? They're going to have to sort Sargent out. I know he's a rookie. It's just not working.
No.
Albon, unbelievable. I mean, what a driver.
He takes that car to a whole new level.
Yeah.
And he deserves a bigger team. Although, I would argue the case that actually Williams are building a good car.
I think you look at the gains they've made this year, and also it's important to look at what the team is doing off the track.
Mm.
They've obviously brought James Vowles in from...
He's been...
A highly successful Mercedes team.
Yeah.
And I know they're developing the factory. They're getting all the state-of-the-art facilities that they were lacking. I watched a James Vowles interview.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, I literally could not believe some of the things they didn't have here.
Mm.
So it's all getting turned around. So
if I'm Alex Albon and I'm thinking about my future, I honestly think the future is very bright for Williams. And I give it another couple of seasons, I honestly think they will be the mid-table team. They'll be challenging for the P4, P3s. I think so.
And the thing is, it's so easy for like fans to associate Williams with like the sort of Latifi era,
yeah,
as we'll call it, when the car was poor. But it wasn't long ago that Felipe Massa was there.
Mm.
And they were actually... They had a good car. Lance Stroll got his first ever podium,
yeah,
in that car. So
it's not about... They're getting the right people in, and that's really important. And I'm really liking... If they can hold on to Albon, I think they have a really good chance to really progress. Albon is gradually just picking up points, chipping away. He's doing great for that team. And actually, you know, it's great to see. They're competitive. That straight line speed they have is just phenomenal.
That is alien, their straight line speed. I think even the Red Bulls struggles a little bit with their straight line speed.
Yeah.
Up against, I think we saw that at, was it Spa?
Spa. Because their straight line speed at Spa, that down that main straight, was just...
Oh, it was insane.
Williams was outrageous. Let's touch on the race, because I know we've been talking already for ages, but I feel like we haven't even touched on the race. So, obviously, like we said earlier, I was expecting that if Verstappen gets on into turn one, then that's race done. However, there was talk of rain, and they were talking about, oh, it'd be probably 10, 15 minutes into the race. So I was thinking, okay, that makes it quite interesting.
It was about 45 seconds.
It was literally, by the time they got round to the last sector, it was pouring down. So race started as we expected. Verstappen got away, led the race. And it's interesting, when they're coming around to sector three, obviously, they held off. Some teams came in for inters because it was really wet. Some people decided to stay out on softs. Some people decided to stay out for another lap.
Lewis was out there on mediums, the only driver who wasn't on softs.
Yeah, I mean, I do think if it wasn't raining, that probably could have been a good strategy. However,
everyone knew it was going to rain.
Yeah, that bit I never understood.
And then do you know what I found even more crazy? And this applies to every single team. Now, I know you can't bring every person in on the first lap, but, like, why was Lewis not brought in on lap one.
Why was Albon still out there until like lap?
Yeah, I mean,
he did like 43 laps on his softs.
What, did he not even?
No, he did not pit until he didn't. He stayed out there on his softs, and that's why. Let me have a look.
Oh, you see, James Vowles still got it.
Well, yeah, evidently.
I thought it was so obvious that it was like, you're going to lose so much time. It literally, like, four laps, you're going to make that pit stop time back up.
Yeah.
Because they were 5 to 6 seconds a lap quicker on the inters.
Yeah.
It was so wet. It was so obvious that you needed to come in instantly to get inters on.
Yeah, for me, it didn't make... I was thinking, you got to bring in Hamilton. They didn't bring in either of Mercedes. And I was thinking to myself,
Hamilton in particular, because he was on the mediums.
Yeah.
We know that if you're out there on slicks and it's wet, you need to be on softs.
Yeah. We know that they got a better grip, haven't they, in those.
And even then, I mean, it was much too wet for them anyway.
The biggest winner, Sergio Perez.
Yeah, you say that.
Well, okay. for lap one, the biggest winner...
Guan Yu Zhou as well. Where was
Zhou,
he?
Yeah, he...
P2?
He came up to P2.
Yeah.
I was like, what is going on here? It was such a weird grid. McLaren really lost out. They made some big errors as well.
Lewis was dead last.
Lewis at one point was dead last. However, very good tactics by certain teams that really benefit him. Hulkenberg, K-Mag started from the pit lane. He ended up going down into P7 at one point, I think it was. And it was interesting because I was thinking to myself, I was like, okay, you know, Mercedes have absolutely screwed herself here. They've had a shocker. And they did. There was some poor decision making. And the longer it went on, I mean, at one point, Sergio Perez was 7 seconds a lap quicker than the ones who were on softs out there.
And when he was on the inters, and he was... Oh, and he was just breezing around the track.
No wonder he had 186 overtakes this weekend.
And then obviously you had Max Verstappen come in, who was P1.
Yep.
Started P1. And comes out on the inters 14 seconds behind Checo.
Didn't last long. Let's touch on them too, because obviously come pitting from inters onto slicks.
Yeah, but can we just quickly talk? Max closed that 14-second gap on the inters to Checo, quicker than I've ever seen in my life. That was for two people that were in the same car on the same... Okay, Checo's tyres were one lap older.
Yeah.
What the fuck was that? Like, honestly, that is... I'm not sure whether they've actually got a different car or Max is genuinely an alien.
I'd probably go with the latter. But I think...
Unbelievable. I don't even know how many laps it took, but it felt like I blinked and Max was there.
Yeah.
And
well, actually, it didn't take long because they ended up doing the undercut.
Yeah, so again, this really pissed me off because it was like, okay, everyone knew it was slicks time. You know, it dried up.
I'm quite careful what I put in the group chat now because I'm trying to be more positive because whenever I say something, Corey going... Oh, look, negative Jackson again.
What they did, where it was like, what, Max was 2 seconds behind or something?
And
they
pitted, 2 seconds behind.
They pitted him before Checo. And it was so obvious, like, what they had done. I mean, I knew that, okay, well, if Max is coming in. When I saw the Red Bull come in, I thought, oh, they've brought Checo. Oh, no, it's Max.
And let's just put this into context for people who, you know, are new to F1 of that. If you're the lead car of your team, which Sergio Perez was in this point.
Yeah. He was P1.
He should have preferred choice of when he pits.
Yeah.
Obviously, in this case, he didn't get that.
He wasn't communicated. They wanted Max to get...
They wanted Max to get
the easy overtake and get the 9 wins in a row.
Yeah. So what happened was Max ended up pitting. He was in P2, which I remember looking at it and going, oh, Perez is... Hang on, that's not Perez. I was like, this is weird. And then all of a sudden, he gets out, has a flying lap, and comes out in front of Perez.
And that's it.
But it was like 4 seconds or something ahead of Perez, wasn't it?
Yeah, but that's because the slicks were so much quicker.
Well, that's what I mean.
At that point.
Yeah. And I remember messaging you going, what the fuck are they doing here? They've completely just screwed Perez up again, which, again, is something which... Do I think Perez would have stayed in front of Max long term? No, not in the slightest. However,
like, at least give him the opportunity. Like, he was P1. Should have brought him in.
So then we were thinking, oh, perhaps it was, you know, Max or Sergio might have said, oh, no, I want to stick with this, you know, strategy. We knew that Perez never had a say in this. We just automatically knew that. We also found out later on that Max didn't even ask to pit first. It was the team who made that decision.
Obviously.
So they didn't even give Perez the best opportunity. And for me, I find that really sad in a sense of how can you say that you're backing both drivers when you're automatically just trying to screw one up?
Yeah, but they're clearly not, are they?
No, they're not supporting.
Like they're backing Max 110%, which, you know what, to some point I do agree with, but it's like, come on, Checo was P1. Okay.
And rightly so. He earned that P1 because he's the one who pitted first. Yeah. They made that call.
That was his rite of passage there. It annoyed me.
Although I did come up with a conclusion, didn't I, that actually I think because they probably felt bad because they didn't pit Max first, they were like, oh, do you know what? We don't want Max getting annoyed later. So,
oh, come on. He would just overtake Checo anyway. Max out there and put four cardboard boxes on his wheels. He'll still beat Checo.
So, yeah, let us know what your thoughts are on that. So, realistically, from lap 7, I think it was, Lawson was already lapped. it was cars just being lapped.
Lap 7, the first car got lapped. Yeah.
So I'm thinking to myself, God, this is going to be a long afternoon. Anyway, people went on to slicks. It was what it was. And then actually, I was thinking, this has been quite a boring race, actually. Nothing has really happened. Obviously, you then had... we had the safety car. Sergeant crashed, didn't he? So you end up having a safety car.
Classic.
Classic Sergeant.
He's the new Latifi.
If he's in a seat next year, I'll be very, very surprised.
Yeah.
Leclerc had a shocker. He had a bit of wing damage. He was just slow. He was just very, very slow. I feel very sorry for this guy. I just think I can't see how he's ever going to come back because I just think he's just getting... He's had his season in 2022.
He's not... All the while he's at Ferrari, he won't.
No.
Oh, they're in the pits, aren't they? Let's be honest.
Let's go back to that pit stop. Ferrari, we haven't even discussed this. There's so much happened this weekend.
Yeah, the pit stops were chaotic all over, weren't they? Like, teams didn't have tyres ready and...
But there's a photo of Ferrari.
They're just standing there with no tyres. They're just
standing there with no tyres. It's like, what were you expecting?
Like, no one shouting or anything. Them standing there just like, right.
Oh, what are you doing?
Why have you pulled up, mate? it just sums them up. And yeah, I feel bad for Charles because he, you know, he's got his issues with, you know, little errors that he makes and whatnot. But he's a top, top driver. And yeah, he's going to get screwed by Ferrari, and it's all well and good being like, oh yeah, but I race for Ferrari, you know, we're Ferrari. I don't give a shit. I'd rather be Red Bull. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, at least they're winning.
So they had some shockers this weekend, but let's get to the end of the race, shall we? Because they were saying, oh, it's going to be some rain coming. It's going to be quite heavy rain. And we're thinking, okay, this is going to be quite exciting. What's going to happen here? At this point, what was quite surprising up until that point was I was expecting McLaren to be really strong with pace, but actually Mercedes had better pace over the race than actually McLaren.
Yep.
Which I wasn't expecting.
It's that thing where the McLaren is a little bit unpredictable still, I think.
Yeah.
We know there's a mega quick car in there. It's a bit temperamental. The Mercedes just gets quicker and quicker and quicker throughout a race.
The more it burns off fuel, it seems to be getting, it gets quicker and quicker.
Yeah, which I know to many of you might be thinking, well, yeah, obviously. Mm. But I mean, like, it gets quicker than like the usual car gets quicker. Yeah. Like, every car burns off fuel and gets quicker, but the Mercedes gets particularly quicker.
Yeah, I know people will go, oh, yeah, thick. Well,
yeah.
Well done, Einstein. So the rain came and cars started coming in for inters. It got a bit chaotic. It wasn't just light rain, it was heavy rain.
Checo
went onto the gravel, had a bit of damage, which ironically I'll touch on in a second, but they all came in. The only person who went onto full wets was Ocon. And he was like, why are you putting me onto these? This is ridiculous. And actually, if the safety car had, if the red flag hadn't come out, that might have been the right shout.
It could have absolutely played out.
It could have been brilliant. So I can see why Alpine went with that. But Joel, he decided to bin it in the wall. And
yeah, which that was really annoying because that would have been an incredible ending to the race, I think. And then we do these fucking bullshit rolling starts.
What is the point of this? That could have easily been, right, a standing start. It could have been, it wasn't wet enough to be a standing. No. But even if it was wet
even
enough.
Even if it's raining, why can't they do a standing start?
I don't.
Should we just wrap the cars in bubble wrap as
yeah,
well? Like,
I just, I'm struggling to understand why we're getting to this point where it's kind of like, we're taking safety to a whole new level in the sense of, I get we've got to be safe, but come on, like, it's Formula One.
No one signed up to it thinking, like, there's no danger.
This whole thing of, like, oh, we've got to wait until it's basically bone dry before we do anything. Just get out there and race.
Yeah, like, it fucking rains, so what?
So the red flag happened, and actually, at this point, they had just pitted Perez literally before the red flag came out. And it still kind of irritates me in the sense of, Perez dropped down to P6. He was P3. They decided to pit before that red flag. And then he got put to P6. And then all of a sudden, when the red flag came out, they go, oh, we're going to go back to when before. So basically, he goes back to P3. Why? They made that decision.
Honestly, it's almost laughable at this point.
But what I don't understand is, you're
people
kind of,
make active decisions in the race, right?
You could say the same about Abu Dhabi that time when Red Bull decided to pit with Latifi. Oh, Lewis couldn't have done it. Do you know what I mean? Like, if the red flag had come out, what they've decided. Anyway, I'm not going back to 21. Got to move on from this. But I know they did it in Australia. I just don't understand how.
Yeah, but we hated it there as well.
Yeah.
Because they can't say that there's no discernible like racing position. It fucking is. There's a board on the TV that we all look at. We can see what positions they're in.
But also,
when the red flag comes out, that's what position they're in.
But also, the safety car was out at that point, and Red Bull decided to pit Checo. That was their call. That was no one else's call to make. They decided to pit him, and then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, because he gets to the end of the pit lane and the red flags come out, oh, actually, what we're going to do, we're going to reset to about halfway around. So actually, Checo, you can go back to P3. No, they made that call.
As I swear, like, it's borderline just blatantly obvious now. Like, they don't even try and hide the bias. Like, they really just don't, do
I just,
they?
I just don't get it. It's like, it's kind of like, you know, yes, okay, you made that call. Safety car was out at that point. Whatever you were doing at this point in time is the decisions you've made. They didn't have to pit him. Red Bull could have waited and gone, actually, do you know what? This looks like it's going to be red flag. Let's hold off. They didn't do that. But somehow it still benefits Checo. But then he screws himself up anyway because he decides to hit the wall on the way into the pit entry and still speed. So,
yeah, and then he got the old 5 second.
This guy can't catch a break.
Well, he brings it upon himself, in my opinion.
He does. So after that, rolling start again. I don't understand why it's a rolling start. The sun was out. It was like,
it makes no sense. Like, it's like they're purposely trying to make the sport boring. It's like, how do we make this as shit as possible? Oh, wait, I've got an idea. We'll put one rocket ship amongst 19 mid cars. Mm. We'll never let them race in the wet. And then when we do, we'll make it really fucking crap and they have to start behind a safety car. So there's really like no exciting start for them.
And we know that Max will always have a good start, so he will pull away very quick.
Yeah, obviously, he'll start P1. And then if Red Bull make any mistakes, we'll just take it back a few laps because all of a sudden we're allowed to do that now.
So I don't get it. And I would say this if it was any other car, if, you know, all of a sudden. Well, I said it. Do you remember at Silverstone last year with Joel when he had that crash down the straight?
Yeah, well, and they took it back.
Yeah, they took it back. But, you know, so many cars had taken.
Yeah, and it's like, we knew what the positions were. Like, when the red flag comes out, they've got so many cameras, right?
Yeah.
They could view it and just be like, okay, he's there, he's there. Bear in mind, they've all got trackers in. They know exactly where that car is, every single millimetre of that track.
Yeah. It's just bizarre.
I don't understand. Oh, what, because he hasn't crossed this certain line? And then with the Checo thing, I mean, that's just like they're making it up anyway. That was just, they just plucked that rule out of thin air. It's, oh, shit, sorry, Christian. Yeah, we'll pull it back to you. Fuck.
I didn't understand. So, how it finished. Verstappen in P1. Alonso P2. Great result for Alonso. Gasly P3, obviously, due to that 5-second penalty, Gasly moved from P4 to P3, which is, for me, I was delighted. It's really nice to see. I like Gasly.
It's also nice to see different cars up there.
It is, yeah. No, I agree. Perez was P4. Sainz actually had quite a solid weekend, to be fair to him.
Yeah, and Lewis put him under a lot of pressure in that final stint.
He finished P5, Hamilton P6. And I think when you look at Hamilton's race, he
had a great race.
Started on mediums, funny. Dropped down to P20.
Finished P6.
P6. I mean, for damage limitations.
Yeah. No.
Although, I don't know whether this is true, and I don't quite believe it, but he did say that actually, if he didn't have those issues, he thinks he could have been challenged in the Red Bull this weekend. I don't believe that for a second.
No, I think Max just looked way too... maybe Checo?
Maybe for a P3, P4. I
think he could have gone P2.
Do you think?
If he got a good quali,
yeah,
I think he could have got P2. But yeah. Max, no chance.
What was quite interesting this weekend, the DRS train, which everyone was expecting, wasn't actually that effective. People were actually overtaken with DRS down the main straight. And I was expecting it just to be a DRS train the whole way around. But actually, I was quite surprised that actually teams were overtaking it.
Yeah.
Norris P7, Albon P8, Piastri P9, and Ocon in P10. So Lawson finished P13.
Yeah, just behind Tsunoda, wasn't it?
No, Tsunoda, he beat Tsunoda. He was in front of Tsunoda. I think Tsunoda had issues towards the end. So,
for some reason, I thought Tsunoda literally finished in front of him.
No, Lawson finished ahead of Bottas and Tsunoda. So, yeah, solid weekend for him. Let us know what your thoughts are of that race. I would have given it a 7 out of 10.
I would say 7.
Yeah, I'd say 7. Give it 7. However, we got another race this weekend. And
this is going to be a Red Bull fiasco. This is straight line speed heaven for them.
This is a Red Bull. I would probably put money on Max Verstappen winners.
I would probably bet my house on it.
However, I have seen a stat that actually people who have won in previous years.
I know.
Have you seen the one?
So like for the last 4 years, whoever won it the year before, the next year they DNF.
Yeah, yeah.
Since like 2019 or something, isn't it?
I can't see that happening with Max. So FP1 is on Friday.
Where are we going?
Monza. I got it right. I'm getting better.
We're off to Monza. Temple of Speed.
So FP1 is Friday, 1:30 until 2:30. Hang on, let me just get that double checked. No, FP1 is 12:30 to 1:30, sorry. FP2 on Friday is 4 till 5. FP3 on Saturday is 11:30 to 12:30. Qualifying 3 till 4. And the race is 2 o'clock on Sunday. Quite all right times.
They're just like standard European race times, aren't they?
Yeah.
Do you say 3 o'clock on Sunday?
2.
Yeah.
2 o'clock. Quiz, when was the first Grand Prix held in Monza?
Oh, Monza. It's got to be the 50s. I'm going to say 53.
1950.
Oh.
Number of laps?
Ooh. Ooh. 58.
53.
Oh.
Lap record and held by who? I guarantee you won't get this. It was held in 2004. The lap record.
2004. Rubens Barrichello. Oh,
how did you get that?
And it was 1:17.4.
1:21 flat.
Rubens Barrichello.
Yeah, how the hell did you get Rubens Barrichello?
Well, because I thought it's got to be one of the Ferraris. And if it was Schumacher, I would have got it.
DRS zones?
2.
2, yeah. I mean, I like Monza. I think it's a nice track.
It's a great track.
It's one of my favourite ones on the game.
Yeah, because it's easy.
It's still one of my favourite ones. Do we know, have you seen Ferrari's new livery?
Yeah. I don't like the yellow. I'd rather them do like a white Don Johnson Ferrari.
I don't quite know whether I like the actual outfits.
Are they yellow again?
Oh. There's a bit of black, bit of yellow, bit of red.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they'll be okay, but yeah, I do like the yellow on the actual car though. I think the car looks quite sick.
It just doesn't do it for me.
I like the full yellow livery, the whole suit, yellow suit.
If they
suit.
Went all yellow for a week, that would be pretty cool.
But they did last year, didn't they?
They didn't have... Oh, the suits were, but the I meant suits, the car.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, not the car. Yeah, yeah. If it was all yellow, that
with
would look
like
sick.
With, like, some black on.
Yeah. The numbers in black.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that would look sick. But, yeah, no. What are your predictions? What is your top three for this weekend?
The Mercedes worries me here. But then you say that they had one of the best top speeds at Spa.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to assume it's a dry race. And I'm going to say...
rain is expected on Sunday.
Really?
Yeah.
Then I really... Max, obviously, to win. Yeah. I just would never bet. At this point, I wouldn't bet money on Checo getting a podium. I know that sounds mental, but I think you'd be a fool to bet on that. If there's rain, we could see a McLaren up there, depending on how they're setting up.
Let me double check.
Alonso did look really strong this weekend, but I do think Zandvoort is a really good track for that Aston Martin, where the sort of tracks we see it perform at. You know what, I'm going to go Max, Lewis, Lando.
Okay. I'm
not going to lie though, that Ferrari is pretty quick in a straight line. And I would not write off, for a podium I would. But I think we're going to see Alex Albon get points this weekend.
I think he's going to get a P7.
I think that something like that could be very possible.
Yeah. I'm going to obviously Max P1, I think. Who did you say, P2?
Lewis.
Did you? I think it's going to be another Alonso.
Yeah, I'm just not sure if this track suits that Aston Martin, that's all.
Mm.
You just look at the higher speed tracks and they've not really performed there.
Yeah. I can't see a Ferrari getting on the podium. I just can't see it.
Yeah, it's just Ferrari being Ferrari, isn't it?
I'd say Lewis P3, Alonso P2, Max P1.
I think that's a feasible.
Yeah, I think especially as what we've seen, we have 9 different podium people this year, so it could be anyone.
Podium people.
Don't even write on for Alpine. You know, Gasly might love it. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens this weekend. I think it's always a good race. You know, we've seen over the years, we've had the likes of Danny Ric win there. We've seen, you know, we do have good races there. I was going to say a stat, but I can't remember what I was going to say. I was going to give an update, but for some reason. A year ago, we were getting excited about Nyck de Vries making his debut in F1, obviously with Williams.
Oh, yeah.
A year later, he's not in it.
He's been and gone.
Mm.
Yeah, no, it's quite sad.
Mm. It's mad, isn't it?
I do feel bad for him still, but it's the nature of the sport.
All they had to do was hold on 2 races and Danny Ric wouldn't have hurt his wrist.
Yeah.
I blame Alfa Tauri.
Well, 3 races, wouldn't it? No.
Well, 3 races, yeah, 3. Quick question. Let's touch on Joel, because...
Rumours that he's going to lose his seat. Have you seen them?
I've seen rumours, but there was also rumours that actually they're in discussion at the moment where they're going to extend his contract, which is obviously the same as losing your seat. But I got a lot of stick last year when I said, I don't think he's performed. And a lot of people were like, well, you obviously don't watch F1 then, do you? He has performed.
Yeah, but last year he hadn't. I mean, look at...
He had a very
good... The disparity between Bottas and him in terms of points last year was...
But you look at Bottas this year. He's been poor.
I think Joel's been all right this year.
Joel has been better than Bottas, I would say. I think he showed glimpses of really good racing at the weekend, and I think he deserves another year.
There are people that deserve their seat less than him.
Yeah. Logan Sargeant.
Lance Stroll. Kevin Magnussen.
Yeah, unless they win F1. Well, we think they win F1. But yeah, I think I would like to see Joel be given another year.
Yeah. Look, that Alfa Romeo is not a great car, so I don't know what they're expecting.
No.
I personally don't see, unless they're going to somehow be able to get the next Lewis Hamilton, the next Max Verstappen.
Yeah.
That car's not getting points regularly.
No.
So I think you've got two solid drivers in Bottas with experience.
Joel has that experience. He's getting that experience.
Yeah, he's
now.
Young. He's getting the experience. He's, you know, he does make some errors, but I don't think it's like anything fatal.
I think he's had a worse season than Perez.
Yeah, he hasn't. So
if you're looking at what you would expect in a Red Bull car and what you expect now for a
Yeah, I think if you put Joe in that Red Bull car, I think he would have performed better than Perez this season.
Yeah.
Perez has had a really poor season.
Oh,
really poor.
Really poor.
Did
you see that interview with, what's the name? The one from Aston Martin, who was the old...
Oh, Bernie.
I really like it. I think
she's really good.
I think she brings great insight and... I think she's a great addition.
Yeah.
Did you see the interview she did with Perez?
No.
It was really interesting, actually, because obviously she worked with Perez back in when he was in Racing Point.
Yeah.
And he was discussing, obviously, once he won in
Sakhir. Which is Bahrain, obviously.
But yeah. She was saying, obviously, how did it feel when you got to that point where you kind of finished that and you were like, you didn't know where you were going to go to. He didn't have a seat, did he, before the Red Bull? And he went, do you know what? I felt confident that I'd won a race in F1 and whatever happened, I was going to be happy with. And obviously, she's discussed, obviously, how he's felt this year with confidence. And he's explained, he was like, I have lost confidence. I've lost confidence myself. And he was quite open about it. And it's weird, isn't it? Because that's not really the sport you want to lose confidence in when you're driving it, like 200 miles per hour.
I mean, the quickest people in the sport are the people that can push the car to the limit, that ride the white lines, and you need confidence in the car to be able to do that.
Yeah.
But I think you see it, that he's lost confidence, and I never wished that he does bad or anything.
No.
Because genuinely, I'd love him to take the fight to Max.
Oh, that's what you want though, isn't it?
But you can't deny... he's had a terrible season.
He's massively underperformed.
I think he's going to be under pressure next year, personally.
But like he said, you know, at the beginning of this year, he was a title contender. And he sees himself... I know we've had this discussion
before.
Was
he ever a title contender?
May not have been in our eyes. But for him, he sees himself as a title contender. He said that. He said, going into it and the results I had at the beginning of the season, I was considering myself as a title contender.
Barrichello, mate. That's what people call him.
But yeah, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. It's reported that he's there next year. They're keeping him.
Yeah.
You know, Red Bull changed their mind.
Yeah, I disagree. Regularly. I don't think he'll be there.
But yeah, I think that's it. I'm looking forward to, obviously, Monza this weekend. I think it'll be a good race.
Should be a good one.
Hopefully you've enjoyed the podcast. We are back. We're back weekly now. Sorry if you can hear some rustling. That's the hamster.
It is.
And obviously Luke... and he said a few weeks ago that actually, when he realised I had a hamster, that he doesn't want one now.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you've got something, then it's probably not for me.
Oh, it's good to see you. It's been a few weeks, isn't it? But yeah, guys, hopefully you've enjoyed the podcast. If you did, check us out on Spotify and all other audio platforms.
Well, where else would they be listening?
Any others? Well, they might be listening.
So if you're listening elsewhere, go check us out on Spotify. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but what happens if you're listening on Amazon
podcasts?
You might want to go and listen Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think that
was... We're available on all audio platforms, so...
Do leave us a rating as well. We'd really appreciate it. But also go and check us out on all social media. So I did a bit of posting this weekend on Instagram.
Yep, nice.
Did a bit on there. Basically mocking Ferrari, but we move. We'll be back next week with a brand new podcast. Luke, have a good week.
Yeah, you
with
too.
With your broken wrist.
And all of you guys.
Have you messaged Danny Rick just to let him know how you recovered?
Nah. He doesn't need my advice. You just get over it quick. I'd be back in that car this weekend.
Oh, Before we go, tell the listeners what you know, before you came here, you played a bit of football. What happened?
Hat trick.
What's the score in the end?
4-0. Yeah, we bodied them, to be fair.
Did the other team not turn up?
They tried to. They gave it a good go, but we have, for whatever reason, we played out our socks, all of us. We're unbelievable, yeah.
Yeah.
Tiki-taka.
Well, is that what you're called?
No, but we were playing like prime tiki-taka football. Like we had Pep on the sidelines.
What's the name of your team?
Wafflin FC.
Wafflin FC.
Because originally, like, Joe and Theo played as well.
Does Joe play still?
No, he did play a few weeks ago with us. He played a couple of games.
Is he? Yeah. Well done. Hat-trick. You're going to go home and tell Ruth now?
Yeah, probably will.
Yeah.
She turned up, actually, to...
She came and watched?
No, just to get a key off me. No, I was pissing it down out there. She didn't watch.
Has she ever come and watched football?
No.
When are you back playing Sunday League?
Saturday League.
Saturday League.
Saturday.
Are you going and playing this Saturday?
Yeah.
You're back, are you? Okay, we'll be back next week and we can give an update of that. But yeah, thank you very much for listening. We are back. Check us out on all social media. Luke, have a great week. And it is race week and I'm buzzing for it. So I shall catch you later. Bye-bye.